I'd like to welcome a few guests that we have, and also, again, welcome those who are joining us over the Cybercast. This is a beautiful Sabbath day, and hope that where you're at is just as pleasant as it is here on this Sabbath. I was just reminded that something very similar to a holy day in the afternoon after eating a big meal, that whoever gives a sermon gets to also have the challenge of helping people stay awake. And that was quite a reminder because I never thought of it that way. We just had a nice meal, and I'm hoping that everybody stays awake, and I will do my best to encourage you to do that. How's that? February 22nd, 2014. Almost 2 months of this year have passed. It's amazing how fast the time has gone. And already we have experienced extremely harsh winter and some very mild spring as well. It's not too often that we actually get two seasons in 1 month, is it? But we've had that actually in what, December, January, and February? So we'll see how that goes for the rest of the year. Something else that we may have all experienced since the beginning of the year, and that is at this time of year, people have already taken a look at what their plans are for the future, what they have been doing last year. And we've also seen people who have changed their goals and actually not continued with them, reflecting back on the things that they wanted to do, and then because of different reasons, they stopped. They're asking questions like, how did we do thus and such, or how can we improve on a specific type of a thing, and what would we like to do in order to accomplish the goals that we have that we didn't accomplish last year? As we set goals and make plans, looking ahead, it's good to have a vision, something that we're targeting, something that we're looking forward to. With this purpose and a mindset that includes a mission for us, we've often heard about missions, it is vital to begin with the end in mind, having something that we set as a goal, as the end target, and then working towards that. Ask a question. 1 year from today, in the overall picture of things, as we try to walk the way God wants us to walk and live the way he wants us to live, how would we like to be known? There's so many different things to look at, but they say our reputation precedes us. So in 1 year, what one godly trait can we focus in on that would be good for us to work towards and have part of our character, a part of our personality, and the way we live our life? Obviously, there are many different things that we could aspire to do and to achieve, and lots of different arguments as to why this one is better than that one and which one would work best. And as the world around us continues to change and bends and cracks in the wrong direction under the weight of the sinful ways that become a part of our culture and the people around us, we see many people who are discouraged. I deal with that every single day now with the new position that I have since just before the feast. They're down on their luck in a bad way, and it was not always because of what they did. It may be because of what other people did to them more than what they're doing. Time, chance, and circumstance ends up happening to all of us. Sometimes we also face this discouragement in our lives. What do we do? When we see others who are facing discouragement. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Acts, if we would. Today, we will take a look at one character trait that fits into this need for all of us and for all of us who take part in working with people, a part of of their personality and a part of our personality. People are known for the way that they speak and respond to the needs of others, that of being an encourager. And if you're looking for a title, we will call it Being an Encourager. And I know we had a Bible study back in December, and quite a few people made it, but not all. But it's actually something that that caused me to look deeper into the overall subject, and it was absolutely amazing how much you can glean from just that one topic. Some of us were involved in that Bible study, but some were not, so it's a good reminder as we take a closer look at this very large topic. Acts chapter 4. We will look at a few different translations of this particular verse, Acts chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 36. And I will start with the translation that's easy to read version, Acts chapter 4, verse 36. And it reads, "One of the believers was named Joseph. The apostles called him Barnabas, a name that means one who encourages others." The contemporary English version reads, "Joseph was one of the followers who had sold a piece of property and brought the money to the apostles. He was a Levite from Cyprus, and the apostles called him Barnabas, which means one who encourages others." The English Standard Version reads, "Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement." And then finally, from the God's Word, "Joseph, a descendant of Levi, had been born on the island of Cyprus. The apostles called him Barnabas, which means a person who encourages." The Wesley's dictionary and commentary reads this, "A son of consolation, not only on account of his so largely assisting the poor with his fortune, but also of those particular gifts of the Spirit, whereby he was so well qualified both to comfort and to exhort." There are many different ways that we actually can encourage each other. And different Bible studies, we talked about that. But as you expand on it, you can see there's a lot of things that there's no way in an hour that we could touch them all. To be an encourager, one also gives consolation or consoles someone, gives comfort in times of need, and exhorts others to do well. At times, we all need this, even if we are known as encouragers, and that's something we can continue to think about. There are people among us who their very nature is being very encouraging in lots of different ways. But even so, there are those who are encouragers who from time to time need encouraging, because we're all human. We all tend to go oscillate back and forth between different things that we live with. The Barnes commentary reads, sees this concerning Barnabas, who by the apostles was surnamed. The practice of giving surnames as expressive of character was not uncommon. The Greek word which is used to interpret this is paraklesis. It's translated consolation. It means properly exhorting, entreating, petition, or advocacy. It also means consolation or solace. And from this meaning, the interpretation has been given to the word Barnabas. He possessed the qualification of administering comfort or consolation on account of his talent for speaking and exhorting the people to holiness and his success in preaching. There are different ways that we can encourage others, with words, of course, and with actions. Our speaking, of course, is number one when we meet somebody and we talk. It's the first one on the particular list of the different ways that we can help people, encourage them. What we speak about is important. Preaching the gospel, of course, that's very important when the opportunity comes up. There is hope for the future from God with the gospel, and many people need that hope of encouragement. Just a little aside, I have been watching since doing this at work when I deal with people, both on the phone and in person when they come in. You can tell by somebody's demeanor when they come in and start talking to you that they're down. And it doesn't take long with a couple of questions or just asking about them to see whether or not they actually believe in God, or to them they don't even look at church. And that actually provides an opportunity then to give hope, and taking that as an advantage. I just mentioned that because all of us from time to time run into people who are down. And just by paying attention to the discussions that we have, we can see whether or not that door will open to preach the gospel, that gospel of hope. Also, what we say to others even more is how we say things. Our tone of voice and the appropriate volume of that, and the attitude we use when we speak. Often when we're speaking with family, we're not paying attention to how we say things. But afterwards, we actually might all of a sudden realize, wow, that didn't go very well. And often it's because of the communications back and forth. The way we say something, the volume that we use, and whether or not it's appropriate, and the attitude that we say things with. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Almighty Lord is with me because the Lord has anointed me to deliver good news to the humble people. He has sent me to heal those who are brokenhearted, to announce that the captives will be set free and prisoners will be released. Verse 2 of Isaiah 61. He has sent me to announce the year of the Lord's goodwill and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who grieve. He has sent me to provide for all those who grieve in Zion, to give them crowns instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of the tears of grief, the clothes of praise instead of the spirit of weakness. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, so that he might display his glory, allowing ourselves to be able to let God work through us, to be an encourager to others. God's word, his plan, and his way is positive, and it's upbeat. It is encouraging, and a blessing to us and a blessing to absolutely everyone. Most people, including us, are not 100% encouraged and encouraging all of the time, upbeat and outgoing, or encouraging of others. It's very easy to be brought down just by letting something work in our minds. Something about misery loves company, and if somebody else is kind of down, it could rub off on us, and then we can carry that over to somebody else and not even realize that that's what we're doing. Human nature is not normally promoting of others first or all of the time. It is promoting of our own selves, encouraging of ourself first and foremost. Human nature looks at what we can do for ourselves and encourages us to whatever it is we're going to do, even if we kind of are miserable. Misery loves company, and if we want to stay that way, we will encourage ourselves to stay that way. That's something we have to overcome. Why would we want to change our ways and not be complainers and not be discouragers of others, and instead promoters and encouragers of other people and of ourselves as well? It is Satan's way to be broadcasting this attitude to everyone. So we complain about our situation and can bring others down with it. Each of us can fall into this and not, again, realize that we're doing that. On a more personal face-to-face type of thing for me at work, and I just mentioned a little bit about that, talking with people every single day, there are people who come into the office who are very upbeat, even though their situation is really bleak. And there are people who come in and their situation isn't all that bleak, but they are very down. It's like the world is crushing in around them. They're going to lose their house, and it may be a year and a half before that happens, but instantly, right now, it's an absolute catastrophe. And it's not their fault. Often it's not their fault, most of the times. It's because of job or health, and most of them are depressed, and they don't see hope. And there's other types of things that we run into as well, not just the situations that I face, because that's very consistent every single day. But to be available to people to listen, sometimes to encourage people to by our listening and looking them in the eye and acknowledging that you're hearing what they're saying. Be willing to ask, seek first to understand their situation and then to be understood that you're trying to help them. Even using the words, I'd like to encourage you that this situation is not as bleak as it might seem. It's going to take a long time. Giving them some kind of hope and encouraging them that they can get off that central point of feeling down. Depending on how we respond to their needs, to be ready to give an answer for the hope. And of course, the hope of the gospel and the plan of Jesus Christ, but also being able to open that door by the situation that you're facing with them, be able to give them some hope. And if you have the opportunity then to take that into if their minds are open, to talk to them about God and his plan, declaring the gospel. But if we are positive and encouraging in our own personality and our character, people will notice. And at some point, eventually, they will ask, why? Why are you this way when everybody around you is so down? Misery loves company, and people like to see others kind of in a way agreeing that the way they are is okay. Misery Does Love Company, and would be it would they would like us to respond with agreement to them that their situation is bleak, and we agree. We all need and can provide a smile of hope and encouragement. Now, that is something that I've been trying to deliberately use at work, and I shouldn't be amazed, but I am amazed that when I've tried and I've gone out to somebody at the counter and just have kind of a long, drawn-out face, their response is long and drawn out. If I go over and I smile and the words come out positive, hi, can I help you, or whatever it is, their face changes and their countenance changes. And that's just a small part of being an encourager, because if somebody is down, one of the things that we need to do is to bring their spirits back up. And doing that deliberately by our facial expressions, the way we talk, what we say, the proper volume, and all those things go into it. And that's something that it's good to listen to and it's good to talk about, but it's something that we really need to make a part of our lives, a part of our personality, a part of our character, so that when people do see this in us and they ask, how come you're so encouraging, you're so uplifting, you're always smiling, then we have that door that's open that we can talk to them about the wonderful gifts that we have gotten from God and the things that we have to look forward to. So the opportunity to preach God and the gospel to them is there, by allowing God to work through us if that situation is right. We are instructed to live in a way that God's gifts from His Spirit show in our words, in our work, in our walk, in our ways. Question: what fruits of the Spirit are used in being an encourager? In Galatians 5, verse 22, we all know this. We've gone over the fruits of the Spirit several times over the past year or so. But I'll read this again from the God's Word translation. But the spiritual nature produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Back to verse 19 of Galatians 5. Now, the effects of the corrupt nature are obvious. Illicit sex, perversion, promiscuity, idolatry, drug use, hatred, revelry, jealousy, anger, outbursts, selfish ambition, conflicts, friction, envy, drunkenness, wild partying, and similar things. I've told you in the past, and I'm telling you again, that people who do these kinds of things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And often we see people who are that way. This is the way that exists around us. And we've often talked before and after services about the change in the culture, and talking to those who are who have been around for a while and remember when we were growing up and maybe didn't have TV. Wow. But some of us actually do remember that, and people were different than they are now. The way that exists around us now is not encouraging, and we can, if we're not careful, to be sucked in with that. We listen to the news and be sucked into the negative things that are going on around us. But the spiritual nature produces an encouraging way if we use God's gift. Love is an outgoing concern for others. Joy. We receive and give a sense of joy if that's our personality and that's our character. Peace. An encourager has a peaceful way about them. Patience, that is something that's very important, but we are patient with others if we are somebody who is an encouraging individual. Goodness, showing good responses to others and looking for the good in the situation and pointing that out. Faithfulness, is faithfulness in our way? If we say we're going to do something for somebody, are we faithful to the words that we use? Because that also can be encouraging. If we tell somebody we will do something by a certain time and we don't, that can be discouraging to them. But if we are, or keep them informed that the progress is not as quick as what we were planning, but it is moving in the right direction, that can be encouraging as well. Self-control. It controls our, when we control our words and our ways, towards others when the situation is obviously not good. And I think we've all run across it. I know I have just this past week when somebody came in and was a little boisterous and not very congenial And sometimes we'll see that at stores or in different situations. And having the presence of mind to instantly pray and ask God to help me to be calm, to help me to have self-control. And the interesting thing is when we do that, if somebody else in the office saw it and came up and said, wow, that was really good. I don't know that I could have done that. And realizing that's God working through us with his gifts to be encouraging to others and having the self-control and letting him help us to take over the situation so that it'll turn out for their benefit. Now, how do each of us use the different gifts that God has given us to be encouragers? I just went through them, but that is actually something that when we have an opportunity to talk, like Mr. Miller had mentioned, after services or at some time, take these different items and talk about how they could be applied. One of the benefits of that is as we put it into our mind, it more likely will be able to be put into practice rather than just saying, yeah, I should do that. Romans chapter 12, if you would, please turn there. Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verses 8 through 10. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with carefulness. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. When you have the time, again, think about the different fruits and how they would apply in your life and put them into our minds so that when the opportunity comes, we actually have rehearsed that and it becomes a little bit easier to put it into practice. With our personality and our character, the trait of being an encourager. The power of words can be encouraging when we deal with others. The need to stop and to look at the situation and to listen to what's going on. In Stephen Covey's book, Seven Habits, he mentions in there we need to seek to understand and then to be understood. Stop, look, and listen. That's something that needs to be applied. We can't just think about it. We actually have to place it in the way we do things, the way we think, and follow through. Focusing on the needs of others is a key to being able to be an encourager. It takes deliberate effort until it becomes second nature, a part of our way of doing things, and it becomes a part of our actual reputation, our personality. Physical touch can be encouraging as well if it's appropriate, like parents with children, consoling and taking somebody's hand, but again, it has to be appropriate. Praying together, it's a tough thing to start if you haven't done that before. The first time I was asked to pray with somebody was visiting somebody in the hospital. And it was very obvious to that person that I had never done that before. And that person was very encouraging in helping me to be able to do that. The first time is a little bit tough, but asking God for help, that's encouraging to us, but also can be encouraging to others. Reading from God's word with them, visiting in the hospital, asking if they would like to do that, also talking about what we've just read, that can be helpful. That could be encouraging as well because we're helping them keep their mind in the situation. Although sometimes I think we all know we've gone to the hospital to encourage somebody and they were more encouraging to us because of their mindset. And that's wonderful. Showing up, being there and talking and smiling. I mentioned that I've been trying to smile a lot more often. I think all of us remember when Aaron Dean was here and spoke about this and how smiles actually affected the situations he was in. Consider how we feel when somebody actually smiles at us. It's a small kind of encouragement, but it actually is encouraging. Even if it's across the room and you see somebody and you smile at them, it's nice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, if we don't turn there. Why should we do this? We are directed by God to be this way. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. And I'll read this one again from the easy to read version. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. Today I am giving you a choice of two ways, and I ask heaven and earth to witness of your choice. You can choose life or death. The first choice will bring a blessing. The other choice will bring a curse. So choose life. Then you and your children will live. At first, this may not seem connected. When we are encouraging others, there is a type of a hope when there is encouragement directed towards them. And the discouraging mood is more on the side of death than it is on life. So the hope on the side of encouragement and life is a side that we're choosing to partake in. Encouragement is a life-giving boost in that sense. So in that sense, to be an encourager, we are choosing life for that other person by the way we talk, and by the way we respond to them, and by the way we act. We are also instructed to not withhold a blessing. Choosing the way we speak and our words to others can be a blessing to others if we choose to do so. And if we have that opportunity and we choose not to, then we have chosen to withhold a blessing. Let's look at Psalm 32 and verse 11. When we hear of encouraging news, do we call that individual, email them, or contact them? When we hear of answered prayer, just calling somebody or sending them a card and letting them know that we heard and we are encouraged by that is a good thing to do. Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Being an encourager in our character and our personality comes from the heart. It's not something that we can just do because it's rote, something that we just do like tying our shoestrings. Make an outgoing effort to be joyful and see things to be joyful about. It costs only a little bit of time, but it means a lot to others. It's a blessing to others to be an encourager to them. It's also an antidote for discouragement. And again, we all can run into different situations where we're discouraged. What kind of a person am I? What kind of a reputation do I have? Positive, always, sometimes, rarely. Negative, always, sometimes, rarely. That's something we have to ask ourselves. What kind of a person am I? How do I respond to news from others or about others? Numbers chapter 11, if you want to turn there. A few other items that we can use. One, learn to share our burdens with God first, but also with each other. It's hard to trust other people with our burdens because we don't want to weigh them down, but it's often an opportunity then for God to use them to be a blessing to us. Numbers chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 10. And see how God helped Moses at a discouraging time. Numbers chapter 11. Actually, I'll start in verse 9. When dew fell on the camp at night, manna fell with it. Moses heard people from every family crying at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became very angry, and Moses didn't like it either. So he asked, Lord, why have you brought me this trouble? How have I displeased you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Am I their mother? Did I give birth to them? Are you really asking me to carry them in my arms as a nurse? Carries a baby all the way to the land you promised their ancestors with an oath? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep crying to me to give them meat to eat. I can't take care of all these people by myself. This is too much work for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, why don't you just kill me? I can't face this trouble anymore. Very obvious that he was becoming overwhelmed with what he was taking care of. Boldly expressing to God his frustration and his discouragement. Do we ever feel like that? That we are overwhelmed with the things that we have to deal with? Verse 16, the Lord answered Moses, bring me 70 Israelite men who you know are leaders and officers of the people. Take them to the tent of meeting and have them stand with you. I'll come down and speak with you there. I'll take some of the spirit that is in you and put it on them. They will help you take care of the people. You won't have to take care of the people alone. A bit of encouragement that God was taking that burden and spreading it out amongst other people. So here Moses shares his troubles with God, and God helps Moses share them with others. God will encourage us when we go to him and share the burdens that we face and some of the difficult times. But we have to have the faith to do that. Another example of this is found in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 and 3, 1 Kings 19. This is actually a setup for the rest of 1 Kings in chapter 18. I won't take the time to read the setup, but I will go to 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 3. But the events are fascinating. If you have the time, go ahead and read that and get some of the background in there. And they reveal God's strength and the encouraging ways that he will give us. 1 Kings 19, verses 1 and 3. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including how he had executed the prophets. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah. She said, "May God strike me dead if by this time tomorrow I don't take your life the way you took the lives of Baal's prophets." Frightened, Elijah fled to save his life. He came to Beersheba in Judah and left his servants there. After all he had been through, after all the accomplishments that God had done, and the encouragement that was there because of God's promises and keeping him safe, he experienced it. He lived through it firsthand. Yet as soon as he heard the threat, he became discouraged. We also can suddenly face events after a tremendous amount of blessings and benefits and God answering to prayer. And despite all that we have been through, all of a sudden cause to become discouraged for whatever reason. Verse 4, 1 Kings 19, verse 4. Then he traveled through the wilderness for a day. He sat down under the broom plant and wanted to die. "I've had enough now, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down and slept under the broom plant. An angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." When he saw near his head some bread baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and went to sleep again. Then the angel of the Lord came back and woke him up again. And the angel said, "Get up and eat, or your journey will be too much for you." He got up, ate, and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and nights until he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. When the Lord spoke his words to Elijah, he asked, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "Lord God of armies, I have eagerly served you. The Israelites have abandoned your promises, tore down your altars, and executed your prophets. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to take my life." God said, "Go out and stand in front of the Lord on the mountain." As the Lord was passing by, a fierce wind tore mountains and shattered rocks ahead of the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was a quiet, whispering voice. Then Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his coat, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "Lord, God of armies, I have eagerly served you. The Israelites have abandoned your promise, tore down your altars, and executed your prophets. I am the only one left, and they're trying to take my life." In verse 18, we'll jump to there, the Lord said, "But I still have 7,000 people in Israel whose knees have not knelt to worship Baal, and those mouths have not kissed him." It was mentioned in the Bible study this morning that the number of God's people has always been small compared to the rest of the world. And here, the encouragement that was received, that God told him, there are 7,000 more people who follow me, who do not bow to their knees to worship Baal. Sometimes we need to be shown what is going on around us to be encouraged. Turning to God for this and trusting him, his involvement, when we have no clue what's going on, but turning to him and asking for some sort of guidance, some sort of an answer to the prayer. Sometimes it can be very vital, especially when we're really struggling ourselves to be encouraged because of the things that we face. That is what faith is. And we can express this to others when we talk to them and once we actually do understand it and partake in it. 2 Kings chapter 20, if you would like to turn there, please. Another obvious item, yet I think sometimes we pass right over it because it is too obvious, is to pray. Pray for ourselves and pray for others as well. 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was about to die. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came to him and said, "This is what the Lord says. Give final instruction to your household because you're about to die. You won't get well." Hezekiah turned to the wall and prayed to the Lord, "Please, Lord, remember how I've lived faithfully and sincerely in your presence. I've done what you've considered right." And he cried bitterly. Isaiah hadn't gone as far as the middle courtyard when the Lord spoke his word to him. "Go back and say to Hezekiah, leader of my people, this is what the Lord God of your ancestors, David, says. I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Now I'm going to heal you. The day after tomorrow, you will go to the Lord's temple." Verse 6. "I'll give you 15 more years of life. I'll rescue you and defend this city from the control of the king of Assyria for my sake and for the sake of my servant, David." Hezekiah asked Isaiah, "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I'll go to the Lord's temple the day after tomorrow?" And Isaiah said, "This is your sign from the Lord, that he will do what he promises. Do you want the shadow to go forward 10 steps or come back 10 steps? And Hezekiah replied, "It is easy for the shadow to extend 10 more steps forward. No, let it come back 10 steps. Then the prophet Isaiah called to the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow that had gone down on Isaiah's stairway to go back up 10 steps. There are times when it is hard for us to believe. There are times when our faith is being tested, and it is okay to pray to God and ask him for some kind of proof to encourage us to move forward. It is okay for us to ask God to be encouraged when we're struggling. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Another item is to rely on God for guidance and care. Isaiah 55, verse 22. This is a promise from God. "Turn your burdens over to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will never let the righteous person stumble." What does encouragement mean to us, to you, and to me? Giving hope, building, or lifting up of others. Facing difficulty, showing that there is a way out of that particular moment. Not focusing on the moment, but focusing on the promises of God. Building up and encouraging ourselves and others. That is to be putting courage into someone to face the particular situation that is there. Sometimes we face a situation that is extremely difficult to give us the opportunity to be able to put into practice the things that God has taught us and to be an example to others. Isaiah 40, chapter 40 and verse 1. Once we receive encouragement, we are to pass it on and pay it forward, so to speak, to be a blessing. First, we need to see the need. Second, make ourselves available to the others. And third, being ready to serve. Isaiah 40, verse 1. "Comfort my people. Comfort them, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to it that its time of hard labor is over and its wrongs have been paid for. It has received from the Lord double for all of its sins." Isaiah 40, verse 27. "Jacob, why do you complain? Israel, why do you say, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my rights are ignored by my God? Don't you know, haven't you heard? The eternal God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, doesn't grow tired or become weary. His understanding is beyond reach." We cannot reach the understanding that God has. He gives strength to those who grow tired and increases the strength of those who are weak. Verse 30. "Even young people grow tired and become weary, and young men will stumble and fall." It's not just something that us who are a little bit older run into, but youth run into this as well. Yet the strength of those who wait and with hope in the Lord will be renewed. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and won't become weary. They will walk and won't grow tired. In Ephesians, we are told that the body works together. That is us. We're a part of that body. Being an encourager is a big part of what the body needs to do with each other as we are working together. We can be overcomers, and we can help others to overcome as well. Even for those who are generally having the personality or the characteristic of being encouraging and encouragers, that individual can also be down, and all of us can be encouraging to everybody else. But we need to watch. We need to listen. We need to be available to help because it's from our heart and we want to be that way. John 16, verse 33. Among Christ's last words were words of encouragement. John 16, verse 33. I've told you this so that my peace will be with you. In the world you will have trouble, but cheer up. I have encouraged the world. I have overcome the world. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, we read, therefore, encourage each other and strengthen one another as you are doing. It says, as you are doing. That means don't stop. If we are that way and something pulls us down, don't stop. Encourage others. It's something that we need to do. We need to be there for each other now more as we see the day approaching. And as our culture around us continues to slowly sink, and it can affect us. This is no small matter. This is something that's very important, and God tells us that. Discouragement can take us down and take us down a road that will lead us away from God. An action step, something that we can do if it's not a part of us, but we really want God to help us to build it into our personality and the way we live and into our character, to be an encourager. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. To be an encourager to one person a week and to do this for a month, that's the start for an action step. Deliberately try to do that if we don't do that already. Then two per week and build that up so it becomes a goal of once a day until it becomes a very natural way for us to be, whether it's by phone, by card, but especially in person. And do this as a goal before the year passes so that in 1 year that can be a part of our reputation. For a final scripture, we'll looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. My grace and peace from may grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be yours. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies and the Lord of all comfort, who comforts us in all our sufferings, so that we may be able to comfort others in all their sufferings, since we ourselves are being comforted by God. So it's taking what we have been blessed with and extending it on to others. For just as Christ's sufferings overflow to us, so our comfort overflows through Christ, training to be priests of God. Beginning with the end in mind, 1 year from today, in the overall picture of how we live, how we are trying to walk, and the example that we set to others as God has instructed us, how would we like to be known? They say that our reputation precedes us. So 1 year from today, that one godly trait that would be worth working towards as a part of our character and a part of our personality, a way of our life, to be known as one who encourages people, a worthy target for all of us, a blessing to others, of being an encourager.